70% of people do not have a single person that they can call in the middle of a crisis. Let's face it, we are relationally broke. And my mission is to make that percentage zero. But how? By building relational wealth, the embodiment of all your relationships with yourself, with others, and experiences that enrich your life. I promise you this podcast will help you build wealth in every way that money cannot. And it all starts by being accidentally intentional. Let's begin. Welcome back to the Accidentally Intentional Podcast, where our goal is to destroy loneliness by building rich relationships. And in this episode, we're going to be discussing how to maintain long-distance friendships and also how to make friends in a new city. So stay tuned, because here we go. I'm really excited because I have a friend, but also family on the show today. It's my newest sister-in-law, Eliza.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me, Zoe.
You're so welcome. Thank you for coming all the way to the Accidentally Intentional headquarters, which is just my house. But, you know, we're going to have a good time today. And Eliza, I specifically have you on the podcast today because I would say that you're an expert in not only building rich relationships, but keeping them. So to give a little bit of context, Eliza had her bachelorette party right before the wedding. And there were like 20 some women there, which is huge. If you have been to a bachelorette party before, it's usually like 5 to 10 people, not 20. Okay. So that clued me in that this girl has a lot of friends, but not friends in the sense of like, oh yeah, we're friends on social media. But these people felt this girl was so important that they'll fly from across the world to be with her to celebrate. And so as we went through her bachelorette party, they had this really precious moment where at the end of it, everyone went around the room and shared what you meant to them. And everyone was sobbing. And it was really crazy and beautiful for me to experience because I didn't know all of your friendships, right? I only knew the context of you with my brother. And so hearing how much you meant to the people in the room and how for almost every single person in that room, you were the first call when something traumatic, exciting, and everything in between happened. That's a lot to hold, but you seem to do it with such grace and it's never overwhelming to you. So what we're going to be discussing today is how to maintain long distance friendships because you moved.
And lots of times.
Yeah. Lots of times. Yes. Yeah. And then the second half is I want to talk about how to make friends in a new city. So I guess I would love to hear some context for you starting off with what was the first big move you had in life and what was going through your head when you thought you were leaving your friends forever?
That's a great question. My first big move actually was to Mississippi.
Okay.
And so this is actually part of my story I don't tell very often because I transferred colleges after like 2 years. And so I went to Mississippi. I went to a small liberal arts college there and I had grown up homeschooled. And so the friends that I had were very tight knit because I didn't go to a huge school. And so I was, I danced with like all of my best friends and that's really where I met like my like nearest and dearest friendships at the time. And then church kind of, but I think dance was like the main source. And so going off to college was intimidating because for the first time I was around a lot of people my age in like a contained space.
Right.
And so that was intimidating. And then it was, you know, like several states away. And I'd had two friends in particular that had just meant a lot to me. Their names are Abby and JC. And I had grown up with them since I was 9. And so there was just so much history there and I felt really known. And, you know, of course we went through some rocky times and how friendships do, like, especially when you're young. And so, but that was really scary because I was really afraid of losing connection with them and they were both staying in Dallas. And so that like that leap of faith and that like step to go out to a new place and try to make friends was really intimidating because I had the same best friend since I was, you know, really little.
Totally. That's exactly the important piece that people have this notion and this preconceived idea of, well, if we're not in proximity to each other physically, mm-hmm. how are we going to be able to maintain any type of right. relationship at all? And so you're talking about this fear of, I don't want to lose connection. And I think that's one of the biggest human needs is yeah. connection.
Yeah.
And so what was the first thing that you did when you realized, okay, wait, I don't want to lose these friends, but I also know that I have to make other friends
yeah.
in the new place that I'm going to be in. What was yeah. your first step there?
Okay, what I'm about to say is something I've learned later on, but I'm going to kind of like use it for that time in my life. Because I think I started to learn this Perfect. During that process. Because it didn't start out this way.
Okay.
It was rough at first.
Yeah.
But I think something I've tried to think through in the past couple of years is like, I think because connection is so important mm-hmm. and it's something that we all need. To always like run towards connection and not run away from loneliness. So you're always going towards something or somebody mm-hmm. and you're not running away from like the lack of connection you feel or the loneliness that you feel, because yep. that's coming from fear and coming from this space of like a poverty mindset. Or if you're running away from your loneliness to find connections, it will hinder the connections that you're making. Mm-hmm. So I definitely did that at the beginning, because I was in a totally new environment. I'd never been to school before, and I'd had these like long-term friendships
yeah.
since childhood until high school. Mm-hmm. And so, it was really intimidating and scary for me. And so I think it was a lot of working through that fear of like not making friends out of fear, but making it out of like, having that connection with someone and wanting that connection with people, even if you don't connect right away. I think if you have that desire for connection,
yes,
you can connect with so many different kinds of people.
Yeah, I totally agree. I want to pinpoint something you said, because you said it's always a pursuit. And mm-hmm. I think that's what's so frustrating to people is, I'll get in the comment section all the time, is like, I've always tried, nobody ever, you know, does it back.
Yeah.
And I've actually found in my own life that I feel as though I'm the one making the plans and making the momentum like 90% of the time.
Yeah.
And that's not wrong.
No,
it will probably always feel like you're doing the work, because at the end of the day, you do have to do the work.
Yeah.
Because it's an active investment. And if you stop investing, then you can't just expect that someone will pick up on your behalf or that it will be a flip-flop. It has to be a mutual, like, I want to spend time with you. You want to spend time with me.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen. You said something really interesting. You said, quote, running away from your loneliness. Hmm. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, I think when you're in a new place in particular, or it can be an old place, you know, like we all know this like pang of loneliness, especially if you're like a hyper-relational person, you can oftentimes feel the opposite end of that, like that pang of loneliness. Yeah. And I think I experienced a lot of that, especially in my early 20s, because I was really social and I put so much value on connection with other people that I think in my weakness was that feeling of loneliness. And I could be surrounded by a ton of great people and still feel that way.
Yeah. So would you be afraid of it then? Or when you experienced loneliness, what was your body telling you?
I think it was telling me, it was kind of that fight or flight.
Yeah.
So it's like either you can go internal and like you can sit in it and like almost feel the comfort of not doing anything about it, or you can feel the discomfort of going out and trying to like make connection and get outside of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Both are really hard.
Yeah.
And I think running away from loneliness, I mean of like trying to not deal with it. Like you do have to sit in your loneliness sometimes.
Yeah.
And because I think there's such a value in like knowing how to be alone and then knowing how to be with people.
Mm-hmm.
And actually Quaid has really taught me a lot about this, that being alone helps you be with people.
Yeah. The recharge.
Finding the recharge. Yeah. And finding that like that centeredness.
Yeah. I think it is an interesting kind of dichotomy, mm-hmm. right? Is because you're not saying sit in your loneliness so it makes you feel like you're a piece of crap and nobody wants to be your friend.
Right.
You're saying sit in your loneliness enough to experience your body saying, this isn't what's best. We need to recharge. So that's basically what you're telling me, is that you actually have introverted tendencies because you can recharge by yourself.
For sure.
And also, when I get to that point, I know I also need to see people, even if I don't necessarily want to.
Yeah.
I know I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's actually how we feel fulfillment
yeah.
in life. So yeah, I think that's a beautiful way to put it.
So, yeah, I think it's this, just to go off really quick yeah. what you said, I think it's like this very delicate dance mm-hmm. of knowing when to be with people and then knowing when to like be okay with like having some loneliness or putting aside the feelings of FOMO or mm-hmm. any of those things to learn to like truly be alone. So you're comfortable with yourself enough to where like you can be with yourself. And then when you're with someone, it's like this enjoyable and life-giving experience
yeah.
and you don't feel like you have to like take energy or emotions or anything else from that person
yeah.
to feel like fulfilled.
Yeah. That's great. I love that, because whenever you move to a new city, your body does go into a panic.
For sure.
Of
yeah.
some type. It's like, and it's putting you in fight or flight for a reason, to put that alarm bell on to say, we need connection.
Yeah.
We need people. And so finding that way of deciding and acting on, okay, I need to build a relationship today. Hmm. And not, that's different than whoever's first available, I just need to stick it out with them.
Right. Yeah.
There's a difference. It's experiencing a lot of different people
hmm.
to find like who actually would be a valuable person in my life and would I also add value to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it seems like that was a process that you had to go through that you weren't originally anticipating when you moved.
The first time?
Yeah.
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 For sure. Yeah. It's like, it was like a second coming of age for me, because I didn't experience some of those coming of ages in high school,
mm-hmm.
Especially socially, because I was not as social as a lot of my peers because I didn't go to like a conventional school.
Okay.
And so there was a lot of adjustment period of like figuring out who I truly enjoyed being around and also who truly enjoyed being around me.
Yeah.
And that it was like that kind of that mutual like connection yes. that would happen. And that just took so much time and figuring out, and trial and error. And like, it's always going to be trial and error.
Of course. And that's where people get so frustrated and just throw in the towel, because they're like, yeah, I've tried, nobody, you know. And it's like, and keep trying. At the end of the day, all relationships are a risk.
Yeah.
They're one of the biggest risks you can take.
Yeah.
Someone could burn you, betray you, like hate you,
yeah.
or they could love you, care deeply about you, go to the ends of the earth to prove that they are in your corner.
Yeah.
But you don't know which one's going to happen until you dig deep enough into it.
Right.
To experience one side of that equation.
Yeah.
And so yeah. I think that's a really important thing in what it sounds like I'm hearing you say through all of this, is that you believe that's worth it.
For sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I experienced a lot of that in my early 20s, because a lot of my friends were childhood friends before that. Mm-hmm. It's like you almost like graduate into each stage of life together, you
yeah.
know? It's
yeah.
not as much of a pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you get to a place like, and then even outside of college, like it is so hard to make friends because you don't have the structured environment mm-hmm. to
exactly.
build those natural connections.
Right.
And so it's a lot of pursuit. It's almost like dating in a way, you
yes.
know, like for yeah. friends, and you have to like the people that you really want to be around. Like if they know that you value them because you do, and you also like want to be valued yourself.
Of
and
course.
So it creates this mutual, hopefully this mutual connection,
yeah.
but out of college, it is so difficult.
Yeah.
Because we just don't have like an environment to do it in like we did when we were in school.
Yeah. It's such a good point. And you know, they actually did a study on how long does it take to make a deep connection.
Yeah.
And you won't believe that most of the data points to it being 200 hours worth of time spent with a person.
Wow.
So you think about that when you move to a new place and then people are like, oh, pfft, Well, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I'd rather call my friends from back home.
Yeah.
But there is something beautiful about in-person, face-to-face connection. And that's because of how communication itself works. Hmm. Because communication is 7% the words that you say, 38% the tone in which you say it, and 55% body language.
Yeah.
So if any of those pieces is missing, you're not getting the full picture of what a deep connection can be. Hmm. So I think that is a really interesting point you're bringing up. And so I want to ask now, as you've done all of this moving, or let's just say the first move, a lot of people are out here asking, how on earth am I supposed to keep my existing friendships intact when I'm nowhere near them? I'm busy. I have a new job. I have new friends.
Yeah.
How did you do it?
Gosh, that's such a hard question. I think when you're with people, you prioritize quality time with them to the capacity of when you leave them, you still have this like kindred connection. And so like wherever you go, like, and you may not have time or the capability to do this in every like place that you live.
Sure.
But I think that like it really is just about quality time, like those hundreds of hours you were saying.
Yeah.
And to be willing to open up and be vulnerable. Let's say you're in a new place for like a year or maybe 2 years. So like relatively like a drop in the bucket of your lifetime. Right. But I think wherever you are, if you're willing to be open and vulnerable with the people that are in your life in person, it's gonna like, normally it's not just gonna like cut off when you leave. Mm-hmm. If you have that kind of like soul connection with someone. And then you asked about maintaining.
Yeah. Maintaining the existing ones.
Yeah.
When all your lives are different, right? You can't just be like, hey, you want to grab coffee? Are you free Saturday? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So how did you make that work? Because how it appeared to me as we're sitting around a group of people that are saying, oh my gosh, we had this 3-hour conversation here, that it sounds like you're on the phone 18 hours a day.
Yeah. It's so funny. It's very ironic and very convicting for me to be talking about this right now because these like 4 first months of marriage, I've been so focused on my spouse.
Yeah.
And it has been so hard for me to maintain these long distance connections. So I've actually not been doing a great job with it right now. And it's this process of working out like, okay, now I'm living with someone I have to stay present with.
Yeah.
All the time. Yep. And then I have all these friends and these family members that I'm calling. Mm-hmm. And so that has been like a huge learning curve for me.
Yeah.
Because when I was single, I was living in a space where like I could just stick in my headphones whenever I wanted and talk to somebody.
And your time was truly all your time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't need to plan around anybody else. And I think that's what some people don't understand until they're put in that position. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am not a parent and all of my friends are parents. And so I'm like, you know, I'm so frustrated that they can't come support me at this, that, or the other like they used to.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm going to eat those words hard the day that I'm a parent, you know? Right. And the same with it. I went through the majority of my life remaining single. And so every time someone got in a relationship, I was like, well, they're dead to me now, you know, the relationship. But it really is true because every person that comes in, we can only have a capacity for so many. And there's this, it's called the Dunbar principle, where it shows the max amount of psychologically how many people can be put in each zone and category of your life. So they actually say that your inner circle, your core group, can only be a max of 2 to 5 people at any given time.
Wow.
So when you think about that, if someone else is added into it, unfortunately, just because of the nature of the beast, somebody's going to shift into the next group down, which is close friends, which your max limits are between 12 to 15 people. So then if you're in one of those, you might drop down to the next category, which is meaningful connections. I might misquote that, but that is a max of like 50 people. And that, by the time you get to that, that's people that you check in with probably annually, versus the core group is weekly, then semi-weekly or a month, then a year. And so you can see how it works. And it's not like you're losing your position as much as somebody has to now accommodate and think through how am I going to give my best self to the people that mean the most to me right now.
Which I think that is going back to my bachelorette. Mm-hmm. Some of those women I hadn't talked to in like a year or 6 months. So I think it's about, like we were saying before, being really present wherever you are at that time. And yes, keeping in touch, but like you don't have 18 hours a week to be on the phone.
Right.
So I think it's like if you can make that connection when you're in person, whenever, wherever you move or whatever stage of life you're in, like you can hopefully trust that connection. Obviously it's gonna weaken somewhat if you're not talking all the time and like life happens and lot transitions happen, but that is like strong enough to where you can pick back up.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're starting over or the connection is severed, but that there is like this, a pick back up to where you were before.
Exactly.
Before you moved or before you got married or before you had kids, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so I think that's like, honestly, some of those friends that were there, I remember seeing them and I remember like honestly feeling guilty. It's like, I have not talked to you in a while, but I was so happy that they were there.
Right.
And I was like, I was reminded of all the like great like moments we had together when we were in person. And so I just felt like very honored that they came out and made the time and the trip.
But you know what? I want to shift that perspective a little bit because though you may have felt guilty, that is an investment coming to fruition, right? Like these are people that you have spent years, hours of your life with investing into mutually.
Yeah.
And so they didn't feel forced to come. They wanted to. They were honored to be there to celebrate you in that moment. And so and that also further validates how you go about building these rich relationships. And what I keep hearing is a through line in what you're saying is you call people. Which I find unique for someone who's Gen Z. Or are you in a millennial?
I'm a millennial, yeah.
Cusp of millennial. She's younger than me, so everyone is a Gen Z.
Slightly. Who's
beneath me. Yeah. But so that's also unique because most people our age are texting or just sending memes all day. And that's their relationship.
I do love to send some memes.
So do I, girl.
Yeah, that's the strongest connection maker. But... No, I think phone calls are great. Voice memos, I think, is great. Because
sorry if you don't have iPhone.
Oh, yeah. This is for all the iPhone users.
don't not you have our husbands.
Yeah, right.
Our husbands who are Samsung users.
We'll get them someday.
Yeah.
Isn't there some version of that on Samsung where you can like record your
I don't voice? Know. Can't relate.
Okay, well. Because you don't have to schedule time. And that is like something that can be so frustrating when making friends is trying to schedule times that you guys are both free because our lives are going 100 miles an hour these days and like we all have jobs and all of these other responsibilities. And so I think voice memos have been really helpful for me or something like a voice memo.
Yeah.
So that you can just send them an update and make – they can hear your voice and then you can hear their voice, but you're not going through this whole process, which can be discouraging sometimes of trying to schedule a phone call.
Totally.
There's
more spontaneity, but also the ability to get the depth of communication you're trying to in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. So you have a wealth of friendships and I would love to know, how do you determine who you should invest into
this is sticky.
As a friend? Give us the tea, girl. I mean, but let's be honest. Before you even answer that, everyone has a vetting process.
Totally.
And I think one of the main swords we often fall on is they need to like everything I like. Which is totally incorrect.
Yeah.
In fact, you will have the least amount of things to talk about that are actually stimulating.
Yeah.
If you're just talking about like, oh my God, I love Disney, which is like something I love. Yeah. But like, I could talk about that all day and then it'll be the next day and we'll have nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
Whereas understanding how someone sees the world very differently
right.
than me is certainly challenging to me because totally. I think we've all fallen victim to at this point of creating our echo chambers, whether it's through our social media and you know how the algorithms spin things up, but fighting to open up dialogue with conversations where you maybe don't see eye to eye.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear your thought process as to how you think through like, hey, I'm actually this conversation, it's kind of a vibe. I can actually see us being good friends. Tell me about what you go through in that.
It's a great question. I don't entirely know. I think going off of what you're saying, I feel like if you boil that down a little bit into like, yes, like most of my closest friends, I do have some common denominators. Like there's literature, there's movie, there are like whatever it is overlap that brings some kind of connection. Dance has been a huge one for me throughout my life. But I think it's honestly like, this sounds kind of cliche, but it's like the energy or vibe of someone, like the way they make you feel, the way the conversation flows. Like even if you don't have like something specific, like Disney, like we could, like I couldn't geek out. I mean, maybe I could now because I've been with you guys.
Amen.
But it would be like before that, I couldn't contribute anything to that conversation.
Totally.
So I think connecting someone at like a heart level might be like the best way to go about that instead of like things.
Yeah.
Like, maybe let's not connect about dance or Disney, but let's connect about like what I was going through through a certain season of life.
Yeah.
And like, could you relate to that or vice versa?
Exactly.
And maybe talking more about like emotions or like your just human experience. Like what, if you've gone through a move, like what that has been, and that's been a huge help.
Yes.
Making friends in DC because a lot of people move in and out of DC. And I think a lot of people can connect to your story.
Yeah.
And so I think that's helped me make connections while I was there is bringing that up and how hard and how like fun and adventurous it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe like talking less about like tangible things or activities and more about like
life experience.
Who you are as a person, your life experience.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I do want to like clarify what I said before, because there always will be some sort of common denominator between you and the people that you're closest to. And what I've found in my personal experience is whenever there is a relationship of any kind that's drifting apart, it's drifting because either one of two things is happening. One person is choosing to grow in a certain direction.
Yeah.
And the other person is not. Or the other person is choosing to grow in a different direction.
Yeah.
So for instance, and this is a common denominator between you and I is faith. And if one of us was maybe choosing like, hey, actually faith isn't my thing anymore. Well, you and I inherently wouldn't be talking about things the way we do now and seeing eye to eye on things. And so there is a level of disconnection that in like by proxy is defaulted to happen because of that, because there isn't that like, hey, we're doing this together. And I think, I think that's what people lose sight of. Right. And we get so defeated often. We're like, dude, like we just, I mean, one of my closest friends lives hours away now.
Yeah.
And in a different sense, we've grown in different directions. And I remember grieving that so much.
Yeah.
Because I never thought we would be anything less than the bestest friends forever.
Right. Yeah.
And it isn't as much a bad thing as it just is a human thing.
Yeah.
That itself is and part of a human experience.
Yeah. That is something I have had to learn the hard way, because I think there is this fear, especially if a connection you feel so strongly about it, and you feel the soul connection with someone, losing that feels really terrifying.
Of course.
Whether it's a friend, it's a breakup, whatever it is. And so, but sometimes it really is natural and it's good and healthy to like, to have friendships drift.
Yeah.
And like, if you feel like you're holding on to them too, like so tightly where like it is causing you anxiety yeah. or causing you grief.
Yeah.
Like there is a point where like you fight for something mm-hmm. and I totally believe in like fighting for friendships and sure. working through rough patches. But like, I think that's something I've had to learn is like just letting go and knowing that is a natural part of life.
Yeah.
As life changes.
Definitely. Yeah. yeah. And I think we all have, there's people who, you know, are either dating or married today mm-hmm. because they thought through, well, I've just put in too much at this point that I didn't want to cut ties.
Yeah. yeah. Which is a scary place to be.
It's such a scary place to be yeah. because it's that, it's I forget what the term's called, but it's a sunk cost. It's an opportunity cost at that point that they're like, it's worth being in this discomfort and pain for the rest of my life yeah. because I can't imagine going through the short-lived pain.
Yeah.
To get on the other side of it.
Right. And I think that's kind of what we were talking about earlier is it's like being comfortable with like either feeling like lonely yeah. or being alone.
Yes.
Whatever that feels like to you.
Right.
Because if you don't, then you might get stuck in a relationship mm-hmm. that you feel like yeah. you can't leave because it's too hard.
Yeah. And there's so many people who don't want to be in that position, but don't realize that they're entering that position. And it's really hard because in order to build rich relationships, you have to have an understanding of what it is that you're actually looking for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think often we jump in too early. Let me clarify.
Okay.
We're like, you know what I want so bad? I just want a ride or die friend, man. What, suddenly you turn into a skater bro with your voice. Something happens.
Just like that.
You're just like, I just want a ride or die friend, man. But then you're like, okay. And if you actually ask someone to list out what are the characteristics you look for in a friendship, loyalty, trustworthiness. Well, I always tell people when they're about to try pursuing friendships, write down all the characteristics you want. But that's not where it stops. That's where people think it's going to stop. They're like, great, this is my compass.
Yeah.
No. Now, ask yourself in order, am I this? Am I trustworthy? Am I loyal?
Yeah.
Would I actually be willing to sacrifice?
Yeah.
Because if you aren't the person that you want to be,
yeah.
you have to have that mentality of, I want to be the friend that I want most.
Yeah.
Because I can guarantee you, if you cast a vote for yourself by taking those actions and embodying that, you're going to find those friends that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Because other people see that as, oh my gosh, that's such an attractive character trait yeah. inside of them.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's totally true. I mean, I think it like, it boils down to like that golden rule yeah. of like, do unto others as you would have them do to you, and totally. Like treat other people as you would want to be treated.
Yeah.
And if you feel like you want that kind of connection that is going to be loyal and steadfast, oftentimes now, obviously like relationships are so complicated.
Yeah.
There's never like a clear, there's never a formula, but I think oftentimes people will be more willing to reciprocate that and show you the same qualities that you show them.
I agree. Yeah. There's a couple directions we can go down now. I would love to hear how you have figured out who can be a trustworthy friend or not. Or if you've found out the hard way that somebody can't be before and what that experience was like.
I would say it's been a lot of like, I think learning trust for me is like 1,000 fingerprints. It's like a small increments of opening up, making a connection with someone, deepening that connection, and just seeing how it goes over a long period of time. And I think I don't think there's like a big moment where I'm like in my friendships where I'm like, okay, now I can trust you.
Yeah. They passed the test.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of small, gestures, affirmations, showing up time and time again
yeah.
that builds that. I think I think quality of time is huge on my list. And so I think if someone is not willing to go there, then that is a pretty good sign to me that the connection probably won't be as deep as to a certain point. Mm-hmm. And so I think if someone's not willing to give me the quality time, then I try to let that be an indicator to me.
No, I think that's great.
Either leave the relationship exactly where it is or move on to the next.
Yeah. And what I'm not hearing you say is, oh, well, I basically just share my life story with people right from the jump. And if they pick it up, they pick it up, you know?
Yeah.
I think it needs to be a delicate balance of share something about yourself. Choose to go first in every way, in setting up the time to hang out, in being vulnerable. Because if you choose to go first, then you know that you have done what you can to bring connection to the table.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good.
How do you balance your friendships? Because people ask that often. Mm. There seems to be two sides of the spectrum. I don't have any friends.
Yeah.
Or I am tapped out. I have so many friends. I don't really have capacity right now. Yeah. I've witnessed people on both sides of the spectrum. So what does that balance look like to you?
I think it's, because I've been in seasons where I've had a surplus and a drought, I think I've definitely experienced both. So I'm very sympathetic to both of those feelings.
Yeah.
I would say like in the surplus, that's where like you really have to hunker down on the friendships that mean the most to you. And like be okay with letting some of those other friendships that are maybe in that outer circle or like that middle circle go a little bit. I think you have to kind of almost be organized with your friendships a little bit.
Yes,
you know, it's like, it's a little bit systematic and it's a little bit like, okay, I have not talked to this friend in 3 weeks. I'm going to text them or call them or send them a voice memo.
Yeah.
So I think it's like thinking through how you can, because you want to love people well, thinking how you can maintain those connections and maintain that that level with someone wherever you guys are.
Yeah.
And think about it almost as like you're scheduling in people. And you have to like, it's a rhythm that you have to gain with someone.
It. Yeah.
And sometimes the rhythm can be totally thrown off, but I think the people that you end up having long-term friends with, there's kind of this like ongoing rhythm that you find, even if it's like, if you live across this, you know, the country and it's one phone call a month or every 2 months, like that alone is enough to keep something alive.
Yeah, for sure. And I love the one sentence you said, you want to love people well. That's the thing here. If you don't feel burdened or bogged down by this, you...
Well, so, sometimes.
Of course.
Yeah.
And that's when you know, okay, who and how am I going to prioritize this tonight? That's like a lead indicator to you of like, okay, I got to think through this.
Yeah.
And so I want to give an example of how this can look, because your heart is to have a lot of quality relationships and you want to love people well. So those are both truths.
Right.
And I have had a couple conversations lately where the friends have come to me and they're like, hey, I miss you. We are not hanging out at the frequency we used to. And I want to know, and like, for instance, I want to know if we can hang out every 3 weeks. Hmm. And I actually had to have a hard conversation and say, to be honest, I would love to, but I do not have the capacity. What I can commit to is a 6-week frequency or a see you every month kind of frequency.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with getting that granular, because if neither of us voiced our expectations, we both would have just been frustrated and like, I cannot believe she just hates me. She's replaced me, you know, when none of that was true. Yeah. But thankfully, two adults chose to act as adults to come to the table like, hey, here's what I'm hoping for. What can I expect? What can we work together on to make sure that we both keep this connection together?
Yeah, that's so good. I was reminded of my friendship with Anna. I think you met her when you were in Texas.
Yeah.
I did something very similar. We had we have been close for so many years, and she was going through a season of engagement, and I called her and I was like, Anne, I really miss you. Like, we don't talk anymore. And she has been such a rock in my life. And we work through a system, you know, and it's like, it sounds, sometimes it can feel, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like they're a product or a service and not a friend. Yeah.
It can feel a little bit forced or like unnatural at first, but I think it's sometimes necessary for adult relationships because we're not in proximity anymore with all of our friends.
Yep.
We have so much on our plate that like sometimes you have to work through some of the like it feeling a little bit mechanical.
Yeah.
Then to go back into like the natural feeling of connection with them. And so,
very well said.
Yeah. I've experienced that several times, especially if you are someone who's moved around a lot, it does feel like, you know, that like, oh, like I just want this to feel really natural and just like perfectly fall into place.
Exactly.
And it doesn't when you're at this age and you have to work through scheduling and different states and all
totally.
Of that.
Totally. And it may eventually, but it won't start like that.
Right.
For sure. And that's just what you need to know up front. So as we come to the close, I would love to know if there's any final pieces of encouragement that you would love to give to someone who wants friends, period. Maybe they're in a new place or wants to maintain existing friendships where they are not near them anymore.
I think you have to really, and I strive to do this, so let me preface that. I think I strive to try to take a posture of how I would want to be treated and how I would want to be pursued.
Yeah.
And I think if you start there and then from there try to love someone selflessly, I really don't think you can fail. You know, things are not going to always work out how you want to.
Right.
And there's going to be bumps along the road. There's going to be friendships that sever in your perspective, for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that's life. And you have to kind of roll with that. But I think if you can come from a place of, if you want to feel a certain way in a relationship, if you're willing to give that to somebody else and sometimes put yourself in a place of not expecting a ton in return at the beginning, then I think you will gain trust and a deeper bond with that person because they see you loving someone as Jesus loves them.
Yeah.
And I think that's ultimately the goal of loving anyone.
Yeah.
No matter if they're a family member, a spouse, or a friendship.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, something definitely to keep in mind.
I think that's excellent.
Don't.
Well, we're all works in progress, right?
Yeah.
Like none of us have arrived. We have to continue. This is one thing you have to literally choose every single day.
Yeah.
The same way that you have to choose to love your spouse, your family every single day.
Yeah.
It's a choice that you have to keep making, but not because you have to as much as I get to. I have people that I get to care about and I want to make them a priority and I want to invest in them today.
Right.
And not for, well, I hope they do the same for me. No.
Yeah.
If that's where our heart is, as you're saying, that's not in the right posture because the greatest relationships, I believe, are unlocked when there's a level of expectancy of what's the best that can happen, but also knowing I'm not going to throw all my eggs in one basket and my world's going to get shattered if that doesn't happen.
Right.
So it's like holding everything loosely and with some accidental intentionality.
Love that incorporation.
Thank you so much.
That's great.
So Eliza, it was great having you on today.
Thanks for having me, Zoe.
Of course. Yeah. And hey, if you liked this episode, but you're thinking, well, I actually am really not good at asking questions, then you're going to love this episode. So click up here because that is all about how to ask better questions, which can be a huge help for you. And hey, know at the end of the day, you are worth building incredibly rich relationships. We'll see you next time.